When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mi gente, estamos aquí. Spanish aquí presents. It's Raisa and Oscar. And Raisa and Oscar and Meow and Mugsy, my gatos.
That was so beautiful. I'm going to make you intro all the episodes from now on.
Because that's how
the
it sounds.
The fact that the boys got to miss this?
Well, because sometimes when Carlos or Tony do it, it's really fast. They're like, oh, it's like a locutor. And I'm like, I can't do that voice.
Legitimately, for sure. Yeah. But I love it. Hi, Raisa.
Hi, Oscar.
It's just the two of us today. How you feeling?
I know. I'm good. Just, you know, sweaty. That's pretty much the feel for today. I feel like it's getting hot. And then like when I want it to be hot so I can tan, it's cold. But then when I don't want it to be hot, it's hot. I don't know. I just need it to get hot, yeah, pa la pinga, because I want to get brown.
When does it get hot, browner, hot here browner. In LA? Like September, right?
No. September, it starts getting cold again.
No! Lies. Yes. Lies.
Oh my God, no, yes.
Mentiras. Hello, I remember. No way.
I remember like, because, okay, it starts getting hot in like June, July, August.
Okay, I'll give you July, but in June it's still cold.
Don't say that. My pool party's in
sorry,
June.
Right? But it
does. No, that's why I push my pool. A lot of people are like, I'm confused. Your birthday was last week, but your pool party is like whatever. And I'm like, yeah, because I needed to put it in June so that I can freaking.
Listen, it's Los Angeles. It's cold means like what? Low 70s in Los Angeles. Like,
yeah, that's
we're going to be fine at the pool party. We're going to be fine. We still are going to be able to swim in the pool. But the hottest days of the year for me.
Really?
September. Are always September's.
Interesting.
Yep.
I feel like August is really hot.
Oh, August. But, yeah. August is bad, but it doesn't get hotter for me. In September is like the apex of that.
I mean, it's like, well, imagine I go to Miami and in August or July, it's fucking like so much hotter and humid. Oof. So maybe that's where like my head also kind of goes.
I see.
Like, yeah, because that's hurricane season too already. So then, yeah, it'd be hot. It'd be hot out
hurricane.
In them streets.
That's scary. Mm-hmm. Gross.
I know. Today they just announced, I think, the first storm.
Does it have a name?
You know, I don't know. I didn't look at it. My sister thread, they were blowing me up while we were in the middle of a... our interview earlier.
I didn't really look at it.
I skimmed through it. My ADD was like, look, just look really quick. What's happening? you're in the middle of an interview, but look at it. Like, just to check what's going on. Is it important? Nope, nothing. Yeah. Anyways, how are you?
I love that little experience of like knowing what's it like to be in your head.
I don't like to read reviews. I've said this before, especially in the beginning. I remember the podcast, I was like really like anxious.
Oh, reviews for the podcast, you mean?
Yeah. And so I went because I had to literally take some screenshots to send to someone for an email for us or whatever, for SAP. So I went and like took some like screenshots, whatever. And one of the like third review was like, we love SAP, whatever, or something. And then it was like, although sometimes when Raisa speaks, I think that my podcast is going like faster than it's supposed to, but it's not. And I was like, honestly, that is the perfect like thing to say about me, because I get told all the time to slow down or like speak slower. In English and in Spanish. And I'm obviously more fluent in English, but I don't know what it is. I think
that
it's part of the Miami.
Funny. Yeah, because I never think like you speak too fast. Maybe just because I've known you for so long that I've just gotten accustomed to the way that you speak.
Yeah.
But I think I speak very slow. I'm like the complete opposite of you. Like I feel like my thoughts take so long to get through that I just speak. I feel like I'm a turtle.
I don't think you speak slow. I think you definitely, I mean, I think all of you guys speak slower than me for sure, just because I just feel like I'm at a like 10 times 10. I don't know why, but again, I that's just, you know, I'm always like, that's my brain. But yeah, I'm like, like I was saying earlier, I'm like, I feel like I've been talking to my brain and myself so much more, like as I walk around my home. And then like my cats look at me and I think they think I'm talking to them. What? And they're like, bitch, what are you saying?
I see.
Like, no. Don't forget to go do this. Like I literally had to do like a to-do list in my brain and say it out loud today. But anyways, enough about my brain. Should we get into this pika pika?
Oh, yeah. You have introduced a pika for us today. And I'm very curious to find out what it is. So please.
Yes. So this is actually inspired by a couple people that I know and like similar situations that have happened now during the pandemic and before. Mm-hmm. But I thought it would be interesting to talk about, which is when your friend, maybe like one of your best friends or close friends, is also friends with someone you don't like. I said earlier your enemy, like as like an aggressive choice, but okay. Somebody that maybe your best friend is fucking somehow became close to that one person that you can't fucking stand. And then you got to see them every time because they always want to invite them maybe or whatever. I don't know. It doesn't have to be someone that you don't talk to, but it could also be like someone que like te cae tan mal. Because I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but like that has happened to me where like I have a friend, right? And then like we'll go out or like I'll invite her. Oh, like, hey, like, let's go out. I'm going to meet up with this one. So and so whatever. And then they somehow always have that tag along or whatever. And then it's that, you know what I'm saying?
And that tag along is not your friend.
And that tag along is not my friend. And I didn't invite that person. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean it in a bad way, but like that just changes.
I mean, saying tag along, we can.
But it does though. But here's the thing though, like, you know, like I'm not saying that like when I invite someone, that doesn't mean that nobody is. But like sometimes it's like it changes the flow.
Of course, every
single person is different and it changes the flow of the vibe of the night or the mm-hmm. event or the dinner, whatever. So, yeah, I guess I don't know. What do you have? That's very interesting. Like you, yeah,
I don't have a lot of enemies or people that I like can't stand. But I've definitely been caught in the middle of those situations that you talked about, where I have been the connective tissue between two of my friends that really dislike each other. Uh-huh. And it's because like once upon a time we were all friends and then those two people had a particular falling out, don't speak to each other, but I still have relationships with them. It mm-hmm. is a really tricky thing to navigate, especially when it comes to social hangouts or events, you know?
Yes.
And like the thing about like our social circle, Ryza, is that mm-hmm. it's a very sort of tricky circle because in what we do in the entertainment industry, a lot of people that we know that we don't like, we're going to run into at some mm-hmm. business event, some entertainment function, some party or whatever. So the question is like, how do you deal with people like that when you see those people at an event, you know?
Yeah. I mean, sure. Like I have those situations where it's both. It's people that I literally just do not like. So like, I just don't see them. That's mm-hmm. the thing. Like I look at those people, like if I'm somewhere, they're not there.
Let me cut you, by asking you, what does that mean people that you don't like?
Like just people that we have had some type of conflict or mm-hmm. like, you know, I mean, like, I know.
So it's not unwarranted. You know, it's not like, oh, this person looked at me funny. I don't like them.
Yeah, yeah. Like for whatever reason, you know, we have beef maybe or we, like you said, and the thing, the sad part about it, I feel like all these people are people that I was like tight with or like, you know, like we were chill because there is a couple that I'm like, you know, we were such close friends and now like we stop being friends. And sometimes these people that I stop being friends. And again, it sounds so fucking high school, but it's like they stop being friends with me because I was friends with someone.
Listen, let me tell you this right now.
All this is going to sound high school.
But let me tell you something about life in general. High school never stops happening.
It doesn't.
Everybody expects that they are going to grow out of high school. Like, honeys, children.
No.
Venga, le digo.
Yeah.
High school is never going to stop happening. High school is forever.
Yes.
Sorry, go on, Ryan.
No. It's so real. So pretty much. I would say it depends. And again, of course, I feel like it's like, okay, obviously, like every situation is different. Sure. That's always our answer, right? But mm-hmm. like, if it's someone that I'm not friends with, like I'm thinking specifically of like someone that I was friends with, and like sometimes they are at a party because yeah. we have still so many mutual friends and we see them and whatever. I just don't say hi to them. They don't say hi to me. We don't look at each other. I don't know if they're looking at me. I'm definitely not looking at them. I don't mean it like in a negative way, like, fuck you, I'm better than you. That's not the vibe at all. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like, if we're not friends and we have nothing to help each other or like right. anything positive, then like, to me, you're a ghost. You're dead. You're not here, mm-hmm. which is literally what I tell like all my exes. Like if I ever walk into a room and you're there, if we have to work together, I will be professional.
Okay.
But that's it. Like we do not, that's it. Other than that, mira, tú estás muerto. Like you're saying, like that's how I am. And I know like there's also like this whole new thing of like normalizing still like being like friends with your ex or like friends with your ex best, all these things. And it's like, no, like that's the whole point. An ex is an ex. That's how I see it. An ex friend, right. an ex boyfriend or whatever. Like, yeah, ya estuvo mm-hmm. pa fuera. Yo no quiero esa energía mala por mí. And that's how I feel. I'm very big on the energy and all that stuff. But right. if it is someone that I just like kind of like more like annoying or I can't like stand, then I feel like sometimes I got to be a little fake, and that's just real. Like I have to like, le tengo que soportar a la gente, right? Because sometimes, like I said, like you're in a situation and that person invited someone and it's, again, it might not be. And I maybe have been that person that somebody else que no le caigo bien when they invite me, a friend or whatever. But I feel like it's kind of like you just got to fucking shut up and deal with it. But I have been the person to like, be like, hey, like, it's just us girls. It's going to be these girls and these girls, whatever. We want to just do like us. And it's not clicky. It's just like, you know, maybe esta amiga mía wants to talk about, I don't know, maybe her divorce or her, right. you know, the new guy that she's fucking and doesn't want to do that in front of the other person.
I was going
to
ask, like, what if you have like a girls' night and one of your girls invites a girl that you're like not, that you had beef with? Like, what do you say there in that situation?
Oh, I think my
friend. Do you tell her the truth?
I mean, all my friends know not to do that. None of my friends would ever do that.
Okay, like, great. So you have that established.
Like, yeah. And like okay. the thing is, I don't have that many people that I don't like. That's like, mm-hmm. it's literally, I can count them with like one hand. And right. most of the time, these people stop liking me first. Mm-hmm. So like it was more retroactive, honestly. Like it's right. truly me just being like defensive for myself and being like, oh, okay, cool. This happened. Well, now I have to defend myself. Okay, cool. We're not going to be cool. Okay, great. Well, then like now I don't fuck with you.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's how I deal with it in those situations. Right. I know you said you don't really have a lot of that, but then how do you deal with it being that person? You know, because I feel like we both have the different situation, although I have right. been you a lot too, but I'd love to hear like how you deal
with it. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to give you an example. So like this is like from my gaming world perspective. So like, okay. you know, I game socially, so you know I have the whole headset, headpiece.
He games
like,
hard. He games
you know,
hard.
I'm a gamer. What do you expect? For those of you listening for the first time, hi, my name is Oscar and I'm a gamer. And
Twitch.
Exactly, Twitch streamer, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of the things that I do is I game socially with a lot of friends from college. And I used to have a huge like gaming circle. Like we would all game and talk to each other. And then there was like discrepancy that happened during one of our gaming sessions where someone with a very like strong personality like clashed with somebody else with a very strong personality mm-hmm. and they had a falling out like literally while we were gaming. And so now that gaming crew has sort of fractured into a bunch of different like iterations of people. So sometimes I'm gaming with one group and then I see someone else from the other group try to ask me to join. And I know that that's not good. So I'll text that person to be like, listen, I'm gaming right now. But just so you know, this person is here. Just so they know, like,
okay,
you're welcome to join. I'm never going to be like, no. But yeah, yeah. What I always say is like, I will invite you to a space. But just know that that space is open to a very hostile experience for you. It could potentially become hostile. And listen, I'm not like one to like avoid the drama really. And if there's a room to like have that conversation, by all means have it. But mm-hmm. I'm just letting you know that potentially there could be, this person is here. So whether or not you want to be included in this space, that's up to you. And most of the time they're like, okay, I respect that. I'm going to let you play. play with me some other day. And that's been fine. The part where it gets really sticky is the allegiance part. So like, you'll have a friend that is like, wait, I don't like this person. Why are you still friends with that person? And that sort of chuffs me because like, I don't have that personal disagreement with that person. I think like the dangerous part comes with like, well, I don't like this person, so you shouldn't like this person because you're my friend. And it's like, well, I've made strong connections with both of these people. I don't have any like, I'm not the kind of friend that like plays allegiances either. Like I like to stay fairly neutral in like arguments between friends.
But there's always one that you love more.
No, and
you
that's don't, not you don't, true.
See, I no, please. No. That's like parents that say they don't have a favorite, but follow
No, all well, do, I'm not a parent, so I don't know if that's true or not.
You have a favorite.
I don't. I will not. I never have favorites with my friends. I love them all equally.
Oscar's
I don't.
Winking. I also don't Oscar's have, winking.
No, I'm not. I also don't have that many friends, so like me losing a friend is like okay. Well, now
you
I have
are
two
crazy.
People to talk to.
You have so many
That's
friends.
Not
you
true. I have
so
many
popular.
Acquaintances. I don't have many friends.
Okay.
I don't have
fair.
Many friends.
Fair. I agree. Okay, fair.
But
I
yeah,
think,
you know,
sure.
like I. But then again, like I have also been, dare I say, accused of compartmentalizing my friendships, which is not
what do you
untrue.
Mean by that?
Well,
what do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is like someone will say like, oh, you have your like, you have like your very specific, like, let's say like you have your gamer friends and like you have them in your gamer friends category and your like Latinx friends you have in a separate category and those two will never meet. And a lot of the criticisms that I get from friends in certain circles is like, well, how come you never introduced me to those friends? Or like, oh, I want to be friends with your queer friends. Why don't you let me be friends with your queer friends? And I'm like, I don't, I'm not the kind of person to do that work for you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you want to be friends with that specific circle of friends, make the effort to invite yourself to these circles. I'm not going to do the work for you to sort of be like, okay, I'm going to, okay, so-and-so is coming to this thing. Is everyone okay with having this person? Because then I become responsible for you.
Yeah.
And listen, y'all know me. I cannot be held accountable or responsible for any damn body. You
well,
know what I mean?
That's why I was saying what I said. Where like, if I know that some, you know what I mean? Like, if I know that this person or whatever, this other person might not feel comfortable, then there, like, I do feel like what you're saying. Like, it's hard, but I do feel like sometimes you have
well, because here's the thing, right? Like, for example, if you have a party and you invite me and I'm like, oh, some stranger that you've never met is also coming with me. And you're like, oh, okay. And then this person is trash. She shows up drunk, knocking shit down, like pulling on people's, pulling on people's dresses. I don't know. Like, then I become responsible for that person as should. I don't want that responsibility. Do you know what I mean?
Hanging so out
that,
with? Who are you hanging out with?
Well, first of all, I don't
dress?
Think, I don't, I hope I don't have friends that are messy like that. But you never know. But you never know. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they might get nervous in these social situations. They might drink a lot to like socially lube up. And then they might make a fool out of themselves, you know?
Yeah.
Like, for example, I had in my old place, my roommate had a lot of parties and would invite literally anybody. It was just like open house party to anybody can come. And of course, hot messes would come in and literally destroy our house. And I would be like, roommate, you are responsible. You have to clean this mess. You are accountable for all of this mess that they did. We can't have parties like that. So yeah, I don't want to ever be that person. I don't ever want to bring a different energy from the energy that I have spent so much work cultivating, because I'm all about energies. And I am very much choose to be around the people that I'm around with at a very specific time. Mm-hmm. And I don't need a different energy to like cause friction between that group. I can't do that. I'm not about doing that.
Yeah.
But I think it's also being cognizant of like, okay, what kind of energy are you allowing in this circle? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I think you do that really well too. I think you cultivate energies very well as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I do. That's why like it's interesting. Like talking about this, I'm like obviously like reliving certain situations in my brain. Obviously, like, you know, I'm not going to like say anybody's name or whatever, but it's interesting because I have been in different situations as I mean, as a, when I was, again, in middle school, high school, all these things was always like a thing, like, oh, you're not friends, whatever, that's different. Yeah. You know, and like, I feel like now as an adult, though, like, it's, again, it still happens in certain situations. But like, I mean, I've literally been friends with some people, met their friend through them. And then now I'm not friends with those people. And now I'm like,
oh, best friends with that friend
that I made through them. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, it's so interesting, like the introducing to the friends and then what happens, which to me also kind of puts me in the world of not only the friendships back and forth relationship thing, but like becoming friends with like a significant other's friend group. You know what I mean? Because that's, you know, like, it's a different thing for different situations. And like, I've dated different people and had different situations, you know, so I feel like that also plays into it as well. And I've made friends from someone else that I knew of a friend, you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm kind of still friends with them.
But that's,
you know,
so interesting, because already, so you're making like sort of, you're saying that apologetically, like, but it's not your fault, Ryza, that you made friends with your, you know, your ex's friends. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing bad about that.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Oh, no. I don't. I'm like, I don't have that. I'm like, I feel like I have like one of those from like, but it, and like, it was somebody also that like, we also kind of could have probably known each other because they were like in the groups and the circles and all of that.
Right.
But it is so interesting to like think about how these certain people just come into our world and like become our friend from like what we were saying, like somebody, a friend of a friend, or like somehow like the mixing of the group or whatever. And then like not being friends with those other people. And just like, you know, it's so interesting to like put that out there and just like, you know, maybe we were supposed to, sometimes what I think about, which is kind of sucks, but like, and not to be dramatic, but like, maybe we were supposed to date. Maybe I was supposed to date this person to realize that I was going to be friends with this person for a long time. Maybe I was supposed to be best friends with these people. And then we had this huge friendship breakup, whatever. Mm-hmm. And now I'm, you know, friends with whatever, whatever it is.
But you know what's major in that, though? Is I think the factor that we haven't talked about, and I think that is a big deal about this conversation, is that people change. Yeah. People change all the time. And I think that it's really hard sometimes for people to let go of that. Or sometimes they feel obligated to be friends with someone, I mean, fairly toxic, that they've known their entire lives, because like, no, Patricia, like, oh, she's like my friend from childhood. Like, I can't not be friends anymore, but she's like a hot mess. Toxic as fuck, you know what I mean? Like, it's okay. I think we need to normalize change and like defriending people and like purging friendships as well.
I agree.
I think that's totally okay. But a lot of people don't think that.
No. And I've said this before earlier, like at some point in the podcast while we were like, I'm like, I feel like the pandemic definitely like made me think about friendships and reevaluate the energy and how I want to spend my time when I am back out in these streets and who I say yes to and who I jump when they say, you know, can you do this? Or, you know, I say how high, whatever that is, because that's how I am with my friendships. I'm like ride or die. Like I will do anything that I can for you. I will say yes to you to help you self-tape an audition, even though I'm on my way to the gym and I'm exhausted because I just got off a flight from Miami the day before. And I, you know, I've done that. I did it. You know what I mean? And that's what I do for my best friends and for people that I love. But before it was a little bit more for everybody and I'm not doing that anymore. And I'm also like, I think it's okay to like think back about a friendship and be like, okay, like it didn't work. We're not friends.
Yeah.
It's not that we don't like each other. We just don't care for each other, which is a different thing. And it's okay to reach out to that person. If somebody passes away, maybe, and you want to reach out to them, it's okay to reach out to them. If you hear something amazing happen to them, one of their goals that, you know, they talked to you about maybe 10 years ago when you were friends with them or whatever that is, because, and I'm saying these things because these things have happened. And I'm like, you know what? Put your pride aside. Let that person know you're happy for what happened, or let that person know, you know, you're sending them condolences and whatever. And I have done that. Like I can say it, I have done it. And it's so hard because you feel a little bit like a loser. Like you're like lowering yourself. No, but it's true because I'm a fucking Taurus and I'm so fucking prideful and stubborn so many things.
Stubborn for sure.
And like, I mean, yeah, like I'm not too prideful. Thank God. I'm like, I say that I am, but like, I think like
you're not, I don't think you are. I think you're more stubborn. That's the Taurus.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. And so I think like I've really opened myself. And of course, like with therapy and all those other things and talking about things and talking things with friends, like I'm like at the point where like I am open to like, just like maybe becoming friends or just being more friendly with other people or whatever that is, or just like being okay now. If I do see them somewhere, again, we don't need to have a conversation.
Right.
But maybe we just look at each other, acknowledge, smile, move on.
But I think that's the mature thing to do. I think that's what grown folk do. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
I also do want to say that it's okay to completely close the book off of someone. Like like 100% reach out for achievements and the loss and stuff like that. But don't feel guilty about not reaching out as well. If it was like a really toxic relationship and you just don't want to entangle yourself in all that drama, regardless of what's going on in their lives, it is okay to close that book and seal it forever and ever. It is done. Mm-hmm. You don't have to dip back into a potentially traumatic experience again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you know, like, yeah, I think it, there's something like, I think we do tend to like glamorize that sort of like, well, I'm gonna reach out and blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. But it's totally okay to be like, regardless of what they're doing with their lives, I have moved so far away that I do not need to address them or talk to them or even acknowledge them. I totally think that's fine. We're made to feel guilty for feeling that way, but I think for our mental health and for our benefits, it's okay to say no and move on and keep it moving.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. But it's, you know, yeah. And again, I'll say it again. I think everybody is placed in your life for a fucking reason.
That's
like
true.
whether it's a negative or a positive, in the end of the day, like it flips to me to a fucking positive. Cause I'm like, yeah, like everything had to happen for me to be who I am and where I am with who I am and all of that around me. So I definitely, you know, it's like, it is what it is.
100%. Yeah. And I think it's also like time as well. Just because you were friends or just because you dated does not mean that you need to attach those old feelings to these new people. You know what I mean? Like let those old feelings die, because they died for a reason. You know what I mean? Yep. So I think that's totally okay. Yeah. RIP old feelings.
RIP old feelings. DEP.
Love that. Yes. Love that. Well,
yes.
I think this was a really healthy conversation, right? Don't you?
This was. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel very like purged, you know what I mean?
But I have a question though. One more time.
Uh-huh.
I am your favorite.
Oh my God. Of course you are.
Like
Reza.
Now that the boys are not on
Of course. Well, don't tell the boys, but of course you have always been my favorite and continue to be my favorite.
Okay, good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You heard it here first.
But people listening, don't tell Carlos or Tony, please.
Yes, please. Do not tag them on this episode like, mira lo que dijo Reza.
It'll be our secret. And Reza, I'm your favorite, right? Like, let's be real.
I mean, Oscar. Listen, we're boyfriend and girlfriend.
That's right. We're the Silver Lake couple.
We're the Silver Lake couple.
That's right.
Like everybody always thinks that me and you are a couple.
That's all true. The time. People.
You've never been straighter than standing next to me.
Very true. Like, here's the thing. We are very photogenic together.
Yeah, we're hot together. We're a hot couple.
We're a hot couple. Anyway, yeah. But let's reminisce about our relationship with a nice little cafecito break. What do you say?
Yes, a little iced one. Porque yo estoy sudando
con... Oh, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. An iced cafecito for sure.
Dale.
All right, we are back from our cafecito break. Slurpity slurp with the iconic... Okay, listen, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
We are in the presence of royalty today. Because I mean,
Oscar's got the vapors.
I mean, honestly, where are the smelling salts? I need them right now. Okay, she is legendary, iconic, a New York drag staple. I mean, the influential, the transcendent Peppermint is here with us. I am truly dying to
Oscar a second.
Okay, because here's the thing, Peppermint. Hi, first of all, hello.
Say hi. No, let her respond, Oscar. Let her respond.
Okay, now secondly, your turn again, Oscar. Okay.
Secondly, Peppermint, you don't know me. You don't know I exist.
Oh my God.
Love you so much. And I've loved you way back in the day when I was in New York at Barracuda. Living for you. I mean, Peppermint, I don't want to, I'm fangirling so hard right now because this is very special.
And I love every minute of it, darling. I'm not going to tell you to stop. I was going to ask you to keep going.
We're just
going to
have 25 minutes of this. Is that okay?
Yeah. Honestly, Peppermint, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for being here and taking the time to talk with SAP. You are very much loved here. I love you so much. Peppermint, how are you?
After that, I could have been like, I'm all right. No, I'm great.
Yeah.
After that, I'm fabulous. I feel great. I'm excited to be here with you all finally. And I'm so excited to see all of your smiling faces.
Yes.
Thank you for being here. We know that you are very busy and we love to see it. So, I mean, I just want to like get straight up into it. Like, what is going on with Peppermint? Because you are busy. What's
Honey,
popping?
She's booked and blessed.
Hey.
We love it.
It has been, you know, obviously this past year was a lot for all of us. And so during the pandemic, I wasn't quite sure. I was like, am I going to have to go into a new career path? I don't know. But luckily, fortunately, I was able to continue and keep things rolling and even take a little time to work on some personal stuff and create some of my own stuff that I wanted to do. I guess you could call them passion projects. And now I'm at the industries that stopped are starting to bubble back up again. And so people are creating content and film things are starting and even theatrical things are slowly starting to resume. And so the zombies are starting to wake up and I'm excited. And so I'm feeling great.
Love that.
I think it's crazy that we're starting to have the anniversary, the year anniversary of where we were. I just had my birthday and I'm like how we were.
And we're still in it.
Yeah. Slightly better.
I know.
Yeah, it's not over yet. Yeah, we're still in it.
Couldn't leave the apartment last year. Now at least there's some things outside.
Yeah.
For sure.
Did you celebrate? You had to celebrate a birthday. I'm like, right. We're at the point where everybody did celebrate.
We've all had a birthday.
Yeah, well, but now we're getting to the celebrate your second pandemic birthday because some of these early in the beginning of the year people, they didn't get that first pandemic birthday.
I'm in January. I only had one. Capricorn? So I hope we're not going to be in January.
All these January, February people, I'm over it.
Wait, how did you spend your pandemic birthday, Peppermint?
Yeah.
Don't be shady, honey.
Fingers crossed. It's still not growing by the next one.
Yeah. It's true. No, That's true. I spent the same place I spent before the and after was on my couch. I had Red Lobster with my assistant delivered. My assistant lives in LA. His name's Raif, and he's also a producer on my show. And so we had Red Lobster and seafood and the whole supreme meal or whatever that thing's called.
The biscuits. You had to have the biscuits.
Yeah, the biscuits, honey. You know I had a couple extra biscuits.
Every time I go, I take a Ziploc. I don't care if I'm wearing my Chanel purse. I'm still taking a Ziploc.
Oh, those cheese biscuits are going in the purse.
Yeah, they're going in the purse. And I don't care. My friends were embarrassed last time and I was like, oh, whatever.
Aren't your friends then.
Because I don't even get a Ziploc. I will roll them things up in a napkin and just eat it right out. I don't care what.
Yeah.
It is that good.
Oh, yeah. They're so good when you get home. You smoke a little joint or whatever. And then I'm like, munchies, biscuits, four biscuits. Not like I had 19 at the restaurant. Sorry, got too excited.
I know.
Riza wants some red lobster. I just got like Oscar introducing you, but about the biscuits. I mean,
the Cheddar Bay biscuits are going to be our guests next week.
Okay.
Oh, they're not back. Yeah.
So you had Red Lobster with your assistant and producer.
Yeah. So we had Red Lobster and we just talked and just, you know, just talked. And it was nice, you know. And then, you know, but I didn't leave the house. And this was in January. And so there was, I mean, I guess it was kind of cold in New York to really be trying to go do anything. Yeah. But we were just coming back into, in January, we were coming back into like another wave. I don't know if anybody remembers. It was starting up again. And so it was kind of like, oh, here we go again. And so, yeah, I hope that January of 2022 won't be, that none of us will be right in the same situation.
Good. Yeah, I know. Me too. Gosh.
Peppermint, we all live in LA, but you're in New York. How has the pandemic been in New York City? Only because I'm from New York originally. And to
where?
Be, I can't even, where? Mm-hmm. Is that what you, oh, I'm from Brooklyn.
Honey, where?
I'm from Park Slope.
Where? Give us Brooklyn? The
Oscar, Park Slope. Park Slope. I'm Park Slope, baby. Yeah, I know.
I've never seen Oscar.
So flustered.
I mean,
you don't understand. Like y'all don't. Like y'all don't really understand.
No, we understand.
No,
it seems like y'all understand, but y'all don't understand.
I mean, Oscar, like you know,
y'all don't understand. So here's a fun fact. Okay, here's a fun fact. So I went to college with a Drag Race alum, Thorgy Thor, and Thorgy Thor and we lived together for a long time. We're very close. He's, you know, in that Drag Race family, but we would go out every single night and watch shows. Barracuda was the place to be back in the day, seeing you perform. It was like truly iconic, truly life changing, honestly, because it was so great to be around gay POC and celebrate that. I mean, Barracuda specifically was very,
Barracuda's my like favorite gay bar
for me
all
anyway.
Time.
I didn't know any other place. That,
I
like,
love it.
Yeah, it was a great place.
Is that where you started, Peppermint?
No. No. When I first got to New York in the 90s, I started working at a club called The Tunnel, which is infamously the club that was written about and the kind of central, the setting for the Clubland murders that happened with Michael Alec and Angel, that were later become the story Party Monster, the movie, but the book Disco Bloodbath. If you like the movie, read the book Disco Bloodbath. I mean, the book Party Monster is good, but the book Disco Bloodbath by James St. James. I was there. I got there the next year. That happened in 1996. Mm. And I got New York to end of 1997. So this is like Michael Alec was still free. people were still doing just drugs. Just like people would like stop and be like, let me smoke this crack. Like it was just like whatever.
Casual.
You know,
casual.
That was New York. People were doing drugs on the street. It was, you didn't know if you were going to have sex or get killed when you were going out to the club. And that was the way we liked it. And so that's when I got here. And the first club I worked at all of the thing that was in style back then was like big clubs, like major, like things that took up the whole block. Oh. And so there was like places called the Limelight and there was, of course, the Tunnel and Twilo.
The Tunnel,
Earth.
Yes.
There was, you know, Club USA. There was like all these clubs. And then eventually after Rudy Giuliani and after 9/11, things got, they just changed. And then it became about smaller clubs and bars and things like that. But I worked at all of them. And then eventually when it went from the big clubs, then to the medium clubs, a place called Splash.
Oh my
which was like
God,
the only
Splash.
24, it was the only gay bar that was gay 7 days a week. Yeah. And I worked there.
Oh, take me back.
And then I also worked at a drag restaurant called Lips. And that was where I would. There's Lips in California too.
Oh, I was like, I like that name. Yeah. I've never heard of that, but like, oh my god, listen, hey bitches, meet me at Lips tonight. Like, oh my god, I love. I want to say that.
Right?
I love it. And also, since I have like no lips, I just want to say it. You know, because like no lips. I'm like, I need to learn how to do the. Yeah, I'm like, I need to learn how to do the better lip liner like the drag queens, because let me tell you, mine is terrible. Yeah, just
put it over, draw a mustache, and I fill it in.
I mean, listen, we've got a mustache sometimes in the pandemic too. So,
yeah. Girl, in and out of the pandemic.
Yeah. I know. Fair. Sorry. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. So you were talking about lips.
No, it's all good. So then I eventually worked at Barracuda. So probably around 2005 is when I started. Five or six is when I started working at Barracuda.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Do you miss those days?
Oh yeah. I mean, they were so much fun. And it was really like you were going out just for seeking adventure. I don't know if it's my age or just the way we seek thrilling things like that anymore. We're just like looking for whatever like we like or whatever we already know. Mm-hmm. But like back then it was like, we're going to explore the city and see what's up. And it's going to be like, oh my God, like that's the feeling that you wanted to have, you know?
If there's no adrenaline in it, I don't want it.
Also like those days you didn't have apps and computers in your pocket. Like you had to go out to meet people and have these adventures.
Mm-hmm. I remember every single week at the club, girl, there would be these people that were there. That this person that always comes through, like, I don't know, with like a yellow costume with a bird on their head. And I did not know their name, but they were there every single Friday by the front. And I would see them every single week. And then we'd chit chat for a few minutes and then they would disappear. And then at the end of the night, I'd be like, oh, hey, girl. And she'd be like, hey. And I'd be like, see you next week. Mm-hmm. I didn't know her name. I would see her next week. She was there every week. And that's what we would look forward to. Like, you had this camaraderie. And if you're like, okay, I will see you next week. And we will. And everybody was there. And we didn't have each other's name, number, any of that. But it was like this connection. And so I think that's what feels a little different these days, you know?
Right, yeah. Like a stronger sense of community. There was like a palpable sense there.
Yeah, very much.
I wanted to ask you about Drag Race. Because obviously, you know, I will say Tony and Oscar are the Drag Race expertise of the podcast. But I saw that you were the first out trans contestant to be cast. And I thought that was one amazing, super cool. You know, it's always nice to be recognized, you know, for being the first of something, obviously. You know, how was your experience on Drag Race when you were on it, which I believe it was season 9, right? Yeah. How was that going in? Like, you know, were you like ready for like the drama, or were you just like, I'm a focus, I'm a work, and that's it?
I thought I was like, these bitches are going to fight me. That's what I thought was going to happen. I was like very much ready for just to be attacked, you know? And going into it, you know, the season before mine, there was a lot of controversy about trans contestants and whether RuPaul could or should say some words that referred to trans folks on the show, and whether they should. There was a whole section about of the show that was related to getting their mail every day, the new information every day that was a word that's now derogatory to. Considered derogatory to some folks in the trans community. And so that was just like up in the show. And it did feel kind of like, okay, this doesn't feel like it should be in the show. And so there was a lot of conversation. I remember so many of the gays were so upset, honey. They're like, don't you tell us, we can't say that.
Oh my
TR,
God.
Blah, blah, blah word. And I was like, oh Lord, honey. And so that was before my season, like during the year of my season, before I auditioned and got onto the show. And so when I was going to the show, I was like, okay, this is not going to be very smooth. And I didn't know like what to expect. And I think a lot of people were saying that, you know, trans women don't. A weird thing started happening when we were here is like, if you're transgender and you're doing drag, then you're cheating because you have surgery and you're cheating because it's about looking like a woman, not really being a woman. And if you are a woman, then it's boring And so we don't want that. And so that's what we were hearing. So that's why I was like, okay, I kind of internalized that and was like, okay, I have to be strategic about this. And so that's how I kind of went in, and I was like real skeptical of everybody. But it wasn't only 5 minutes later, I realized, okay, these queens, half of the people on my season are identify as non-binary. And so the conversation very quickly was so open, and I love all those queens and
kids. I love that.
And also to talk about that show, I mean, you made a monument, you made history, not only being the first out trans person on in the cast, but you were officially, I want to say, the first official
yes.
lip sync assassin
yes.
of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, someone's a super fan of the show, aren't they, darling?
Oh, you thought I was kidding.
Why, you listen, okay, I'm going to tell you the truth. Oscar had to put that background because mm-hmm. in the back, it's just pictures of you, Peppermint.
Yeah, it would have been scary. I don't want to scare you.
I got a stalker. Yay, my first stalker. The term lip sync assassin was not something that was talked about every season like mm-hmm. it seems to be now. Mm-hmm. The first time it was ever really mentioned was with Chad Michaels on All Stars, and Chad referred to herself as a lip sync assassin just conversationally, but she wasn't like giving herself like this title, and it wasn't like that. I just love how it seems it's now people take for granted that they think that every season has a lip sync assassin, because right, that's not exactly. my opinion. But RuPaul herself called me the lip sync assassin of the season.
Okay.
And I never called myself that. And so I feel right. pretty cool. You know, it's a nice little recognition. You know, I felt extremely comfortable having to go on stage. I was like, if this is how the show has to play out, then bring it on, because I am okay with this. Now, making dresses out of, like, you know, aprons and stupid stuff, no. But this, I'm good with.
Yeah, that sounds hard.
For real. You're such a performer. I think that that's your superpower. You know, you just know how to perform. And you know how to, like, draw people in. You have a warm energy about you. I assume off the stage, because I'm talking to you now, and you still radiate that energy. And in terms of performance and drag, because now I think we're like moving towards a more like aesthetic area of drag, and that is 100% valid, of course, but people are sort of forgetting the art form of drag performance, of lip syncing, right? How important would you say performance and lip syncing is in terms of the drag sort of package?
Ooh. Listen, when I was, it's not necessarily new. There was, and I don't even know if I would consider this a slur. Maybe. I don't know if I would like it, but we categorized, queens were categorized even when I was like a youngin doing drag back in the day, back in the 90s. we had comedy queens and we had campy queens, and we had girls that we called S&M girls, which were stand and model. People that did not perform, they were just S&M, stand and model.
Oh, wow.
And so that kind of element already, it did exist, you know, so it's not necessarily that different. However, there are certainly a lot of people who, I think that the notion, back in the day, the S&M queens were very much aware that they were not performers and made the choice to not be performers. And that they were aware because they were in a realm where the predominant mode of drag was through performance. And so even the S&M queens knew, okay, I'm not going to be the main girl here because it's about performance in this space. And so I will do the door. I will be the one who just walks through the thing. I don't want to say they knew their place, but they knew how they could contribute in a way that was complementary to everything that was happening. I think now there are people who are straight up just get on Instagram and think that just because they know how to do some makeup, they're going to be the best at performing, even if they've never performed,
oh, wow.
You know? And I think that there are some people that might kind of make that mistake. On or off of Drag Race. I just think it just happens.
Right.
And so that's, you know, that's unfortunate, but because I do think that drag is not, even if it's not drag, performing is, I think performing is just the art of communication. Just you're communicating with, it's like a language. You're communicating with the people who are watching you, your audience. If it's live theater, then it's definitely communication because you're putting out energy and sending somebody, and then they're giving it back. And then you do use that, and it's like cycle. And so that's where I really thrive. It's just like connecting with people and communicating with people. Like that part is my superpower, not necessarily the performance, but the communication aspect of it. And I do think there's a lot of people who are just bad communicators, and I don't think that they make good performers.
Oh, yeah. I can give you a list of a bunch of bad male communicators if you want them, Peppermint. Oh, I got you.
Oh, honey, I got them. I probably, we should compare and list because yeah. It's probably the same people.
Oh. Well, you were saying about live theater and performing. You're not only historic in Drag Race history, but you're also Broadway history, right? You were the first out trans person to originate a role on Broadway. That is huge. I mean, Drag Race is huger, I would say. No. Can you talk about that? Can you talk about the Broadway experience?
Yeah, it was a great experience. Broadway. It was a great experience. It was very special. It was stressful. It was crazy. It was fun. It was exciting. It was great to be a part of the Broadway family. I did a show called Head Over Heels, which kind of like Shakespeare meets 80s rock and roll. And it was a very, the story of the show and the messages in the show were very all about inclusivity and body positivity, queerness, diversity, and all those things. Things that most of the typical Broadway audience, honestly, is not really interested in.
Yeah.
You know, and so it felt like we were a little bit of like renegades in that space. The show, it was not like a smash hit. It closed before the pandemic. Exactly a year before the pandemic. And so we didn't really, you know, I don't know that we made the impact that some people thought we would make. I do think that if the show had opened after 2020, then people would have had a different kind of, it would have resonated differently.
Is there an opportunity for that to happen or no? Do you know?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I would love for it to. I think if it did come back, then it would mean, I mean, gosh, it's so interesting. Like live shows are so expensive to do, you know, and to do, I think, I don't know. And there is a website that like tracks how much each show makes and how much each show, their budget and everything.
Yeah.
But I think by the time we were just a few months in, we were like $30 or $40 million invested in the show just in a few months in. And so it's expensive to pay everyone. And unlike watching a TV show, which is obviously millions of dollars, you film it and you edit it and then it's done and you can play it a million times and you keep charging for it. But with us, every single like new idea and every single thought has a paycheck attached to it. And every time that happens. And so it was really interesting to see, you know, I think we had 20 people in our cast, but there was probably another 30 people backstage. So there's like 50 people in this little area that's 50 paychecks. And those are the people that are on stage. And so it's just so expensive. I can't imagine that anyone would put that money. I think even the only shows that are like going to fly back to Broadway are Hamilton for sure. And that's because they had productions. But at the time that the thing closed, they had a production in damn near every city, every country. And so they have a lot of extra money, but there's not a lot of Broadway shows that could withstand what happened, the pandemic.
I was just about to watch Hadestown literally when everything shut down. And I was like, am I going to get my money back? Yeah. Literally, I bought the tickets and everything. It was that week that it shut down. I was like, what? That was those are very expensive tickets. Do I get a
pass?
They're gone. Yeah. They're gone. Bye. Yeah.
No, I got it back. I got it back.
I'm just kidding.
But there was a little bit.
There's a little bit of that scare. Yeah, for sure. Oh my gosh. Peppermint, before we go, I want to make sure that we give you a chance to plug anything that has recently come out or anything that will be coming out. Any shows, any tours, anything that people can keep an eye on?
Absolutely. People should keep their eyes peeled for Nubia, Nubia Amplified, which is myself, Bibi Zahar-Binet, Bob the Drag Queen, Monique Hart and Shea Coulee, five fabulous drag queens, Black drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race franchise. We are producing our own tour. Right now, since the tours are still on hold, we're doing a live extravaganza that people will be able to see on Amazon, I think. So that's what we're doing. I'm also, people should keep their ears out for my new remix album that just dropped. It's the remix version of my album called A Girl Like Me, Letters to My Lovers, which is all about my relationships and the men who have done me wrong.
Make money off them, so Peppermint. Out. Make money off those honey. Motherfuckers.
It's true, honey. So buy it up, y'all.
Yes.
And so that's out now. And we just submitted the short film, because we did a visual album that's a short film of the albums and the songs. To the Cannes Film Festival. And so,
oh my God.
You said that so much.
She's international.
Cannes, Sunset Boulevard, Cannes, Hollywood, same difference.
Okay.
Yes. And for sure. Everybody make sure that you guys are keeping, up to date with all things Peppermint. Before we go as well, I want to make sure that, if you're ever in LA, once stuff opens up, we'd love to have you at one of our SAP shows, but also Oscar hosts the biggest show at UCB.
I host a drag show.
Yes, it's UCB drag show, but it's like a hot, 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 hot mess. Nicole Pannier.
I wouldn't.
No.
Say
no,
that, but okay, sure.
A hot mess. No, in the best way though. Like you need to like everybody is just so fire. Like I die. Like I can't stop laughing and be entertained. But also, Nicole Byer judges this sometimes. I'm like, so Oscar won't plug himself, so I'm plugging himself for you.
It's basically sold out every time.
Yeah, so I love. I'm like, we'll go together.
I will just to. Well, yes, you definitely need to come to LA, and
Thank you for the invite.
We just need to hang out is what I'm trying to say, number one. But number two, I know for a fact that you are a big horror movie person. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm also a huge horror person as well. What are some of your favorite horror movies?
Well, okay. So my favorite genre is zombies. My favorite zombie movie is Return of the Living Dead, George A. Romero.
Of course.
So campy and scary. Of course, in the zombies genre, I love 28 Days Later, 28 Weeks Later. I love Dawn of the Dead, the remake, Dawn of the Dead. Oh my God. Oh, yeah. I might watch that tonight. Too crazy. I think the best horror movie I've ever seen is one I never want to see again. Well, the best one that I would see again is The Conjuring, which everybody knows it's a great movie, but the best one that I never want to see again is Hereditary.
Listen, I'm never gonna watch it now.
Good.
I screamed reading the plot description.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I respect that. It's not like it's like when people hate watch a show and they're like, you gotta watch it. Okay, and I'm like, why?
It's a movie. It's a movie that will change.
Yeah,
you.
Exactly. It's psychological.
It'll change.
No. Oh my gosh. Yikes. Oh my gosh. Dale pues. Well, obviously then, yes, when you are in LA, you got to roll through. We will not watch that movie. We will watch some of
Drag Race.
We'll get some cheddar biscuits. Mira, yo lo voy a estar todo planeado, okay?
Yes, mommy.
that means I'm a planning for you. So can you let everybody know your handles, where they can follow you at?
Yeah, Peppermint247 everywhere.
Hey, oh. Love that. Easy. And you guys can follow us at Spanish Aquí Presents on Instagram, at Spanish Aquí on Twitter. You can follow me at Raisa Licea on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can follow me at, of course, it's Carlos on Instagram.
And you can follow me at Ozzymo, O-Z-Z-Y-M-O on Instagram and Twitter.
You can follow me at snm.com, and that stands for Stand and Muppet.
Oh, and that, always, that always. I would definitely call you that.
Yeah. That's my drag style.
You are. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
Just kidding. I'm at the Tony Roderick, and also at Barbafella, my real Barbafella drag persona.
Kind of
And check out Spanish Aquí Presents on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Pandora, the SiriusXM app, or wherever you listen. And please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps more people find out about the show. Peppermint, thank you so much.
Thank
you're
so
such
much,
a delight
Peppermint.
And such a talent. And yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
So great to have
you. Incredible.
Love you. Dale.